God, I welcome you along to our service here this Sabbath morning. We're turning in our Bibles to the Old Testament and to the book of Jeremiah and to the chapter 23. And could I encourage you to open your Bible and to read along with us. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, and having wept over the nation of Israel, we are reminded then in the verse 6 of this chapter that the Lord is our righteousness. And turning their attention then to the word of God, he said in the verse 28, the book of Jeremiah, the chapter 23, and reading from the verse 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Amen. We know that the Lord will bless this reading of his own word to each of our hearts. In these words, we are introduced to the prophet Jeremiah. As well as being the son of a priest, he was himself a priest and a prophet. While it was lawful for prophets in the Old Testament to marry, yet because of the opposition and the hardships that he would face, the Lord told him in chapter 16 and in the verse 2, thou shalt not take thee a wife. And facing much opposition and many obstacles, he, looking for solace, he said in chapter 15, thy words were found, and I did eat them. The word of God was like manna to his soul. It not only cleansed him and cheered him, but it comforted him. And as we come on through the book, we find the Lord then changing the image again. And in this chapter, he likens the word of God to a fire and to a hammer. By these images, he was drawing them down into a deep mine. The miner coming across a large, strong rock, he would gather together pieces of wood and other flammable items, placing them around the rock. He would then set them on fire. The intense heat weakening the structure of the rock, he would then beat it with his hammer, it cracking and breaking into small pieces. He was then able to extract the metal contained within it. And the fire weakening the rock, the hammer then was able to break it into pieces. And praise God, the word of God is like a fire and a hammer. It's able to break the hardest and the most seemingly hopeless heart in pieces. Indeed, as we come into the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, taking up the subject of the Word of God, he said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And he reminded them that such was the power of the Word of God that was able to pierce the hardest heart. You see, the Word of God is charged with the potency of heaven. It's able not only to heal the broken heart, but it's able to break the hardest heart. John Calvin, the great Protestant reformer, said, it is a living thing and full of hidden power, which leaves nothing in man untouched. Just a few words of this book falling into the heart of Saul the persecutor. In a moment of time, he became Paul the preacher. And you see, while some books inform, this book is able to transform. As a hammer, it's able to break the hardened heart, leaving it open and accessible to the Word of God. Sometimes in society, looking around us and seeing the wickedness and hardness of men's hearts, we sometimes can fall into despair. And we imagine, what's the point of preaching? What's the point of giving out the Word of God? That heart is too hard. But never forget that the Bible is a fire. The Bible is a hammer. It's able to break that hardened heart into pieces. And it's able to transform and change that life. God has given us His Word. And never forget that as a hammer breaks the rock, so this Word is able to break even the hardest heart. And so I want to draw your attention to the various descriptions given here of the Word of God. I think as we come to these verses, we notice firstly there is a contrast here. Speaking of the false prophet, he likened his words to chaff. While the chaff at a distance looks like the grain, in reality it is but a dry, empty husk. In contrast, he likens his word here to wheat. From this description, we see concerning his word that it is stirring. Unlike the chaff, which is little or no value, he said in verse 28, "He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord." I am told there are about 14 species and probably about 30,000 varieties of wheat grown in various parts of the world. While it is similar in shape and color to the chaff, yet within it is life, being sown in the field, eventually bursting through its outer hard shell. It begins to push its way on through the dark, damp soil, sprouting forth. Each stem brings forth some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. It transforms the entire landscape. It brings forth life and color, and more than that, it brings forth fruit. And like the wheat, the Word of God is filled with life and vitality, being placed in the dry and desolate and difficult heart. It is able to change and transform it. Indeed, the psalmist urging his hearers to go forth and to sow the good seed of the Word of God. He said in Psalm 126 in the verse 6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Underline there the word doubtless. In other words, he was saying here, there is not a doubt about it. If he sowed the word of God and supplicating over it with tears and tenacity, it would eventually bring forth fruit. It would change and transform lives. And while the Word of God to many may seem to be lifeless, in reality it is full of life. When placed even into the hardest heart, it is able to bring forth life. You know, the harvest time we often sing that hymn, "Bringing in the Sheaves." It was written by Noel Shaw, and its words were based on the 126th Psalm. When he was just about 12 years of age, his father dying, he gave to him his cherished violin, and he urged him to live his life for Christ. Growing up, he became a singing evangelist. His singing, drawing people to hear him, his sermons then drew over 11,000 sinners to Christ. Away back in 1878, he traveling by rail across Texas, his train was suddenly derailed and he was killed. Moments before his death, he told a friend that he never became discouraged. His friend, little amazed, asking why. He said, because he knew that as a seed springing up was able to push aside every obstacle bringing life, so was the Word of God. And you see, this is no ordinary seed. It has life within it. And being placed in the heart, no matter how hard that heart is, it's able to push through, bringing life. Sometimes in the work of evangelism, we become discouraged and we feel like giving up. But believer, remember that this word is seed. And if only you place it in that heart, no matter how hard the heart, is able to spring up and is able to bring forth life. Not only is it stirring, but it is also strengthening. Drawing them back to the picture of the word, he said in verse 28, "He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord?" While the chaff may look like the wheat, it is essentially a waste product. And as such, it is eventually bundled up, and being taken out, it is then burned. In contrast, the wheat is full of nourishment. The miller grinding it into flour. The baker mixing it in his bowl. He then places it into the oven. The traveller or the farmer feasting upon it, it not only satisfies him, but it strengthens him. It enables him to grow in stature and in strength. And in using this image, he was reminding them that the Word of God was able to strengthen them. And you see, the Word of God not only sanctifies us, but it strengthens us. It enables us to grow in Christ. And more than that, it enables us to go for Christ. Indeed, urging the Jewish converts to put away envy and strife. Peter then urging them to fill the vacuum created by their removal. He said in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." To the newborn babe, milk is not merely a luxury, but it is a necessity. As well as immunizing him, it also strengthens him, enabling him to grow. It swells the capabilities of the body and the mind. And such he was reminding them here, that if only they feasted upon the Word of God, it was able to strengthen their inner man. And God's Word is nourishing. As well as satisfying, it strengthens our inner man. Haven't you often heard in this modern society the slogan, "You are what you eat"? Our health depends upon our nutrition. If that is true in the physical realm, then it is also true in the spiritual realm. If we are to grow in the faith, if we are to become strong, then we need to feast our hearts and our minds upon the Word of God. Have you ever decided when you got on the scales that now was the time for a diet? Then when you went on the diet, what was the first thing that you did? You dumped all the fatty foods and you replaced them with healthy foods. And believer, if you're to grow in grace, there needs to be a dumping of that which is contrary to the Word of God. There needs to be a dumping of those things that would corrupt and weaken. And there needs to be a feasting upon the Word of God. The Word of God is as wheat. If only you feast your soul upon it, it'll strengthen you. It'll strengthen your inner man, enabling you to stand against the wiles of the devil. Not only is it strengthening, but also it is stable. He said in that verse 28, "He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord." As we've seen, he draws here a contrast between the wheat and the chaff. The chaff is taken along with the wheat and is eventually brought up onto the side of a hill and is set out on a large flat stone. Being beaten by rods, the chaff is then separated from the wheat, being light and flimsy. The chaff was then carried away by the wind, or it was burned in the fire. In contrast, we're told here that the wheat was carried into the safety of the barn. You see, the actions of the wind and the thresher were unable to destroy or damage the wheat. Unlike the words of men, the words of the Master are indestructible. Why? They can be attacked. They cannot be annihilated. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." While a jot was the smallest letter in the Greek alphabet, the tittle was a small hook in the Hebrew language. And as such, he was saying here that no matter what man did, that he could not destroy even the smallest letter of God's word. And the God who has miraculously provided this book will miraculously protect this book. When the words of his enemies are gone, obliterated, his word still will be there. In fact, the hymn writer said, "The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands." And believer, we don't need to fear for the word of God. As the farmer in olden times, my going out sowing the seed would have protected the seed, protected it from the birds. So God protects his word. And men may come along, and men by their devices may seek to destroy this book, to pull it apart. But we don't need to fear. God will preserve it. God will keep it. You see, this book is as wheat. And as they would have taken the wheat and ground it and baked it and feasted upon it, can I encourage you to take time to feast upon the word of God. But as we come to these words, not only is there a contrast here, but you notice also that there is a comparison here. Having contrasted the word of God with chaff, he then compared it to a hammer. The hammer not only pulls down, but the hammer also builds up. And then likening it to a fire, you notice here that it cleanses us rather than having a cooling effect. He said in verse 29, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Put your hand into the fire, and you'll quickly discover that it burns. In fact, he tells us in chapter 5 in the verse 24, "The fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff." It burns up that which is tainted and useless. Again, the refiner, rather than washing the silver or the gold, he places it into the fire. The flames dancing and leaping around it, burning up the dross. It cleanses it to its very core. And you see, the word of God, when applied to our lives, it not only cleanses us outwardly, but it also cleanses us inwardly. It burns up the dross, enabling us to shine for Christ. Indeed, in Psalm 119, in the opening part, the psalmist there asks a very important question. Then going on to give the answer, he said, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." It was not enough to glance at the word of God or even to read the word of God, but they were to take heed to it. In fact, the title of this section of the psalm is Beth, which means a house. In other words, if only they would make a home for the word of God in their hearts, it would cleanse them. You see, the word of God not only confronts us, but it cleanses us. It enables us to see our sin, and more than that, it enables us to drive it out of our lives. What good is fire to a refiner if he doesn't apply it to the gold or to the silver? What good is water to you or to me if we don't wash in it or if we don't drink it? And it's not enough to have the Word of God in our possession. It's not enough to sit down and to casually read the Word of God. But we need to apply it to our hearts. We need to apply it to our lives. As you read through that chapter, we need to ask vital questions. Lord, what does this mean? But more than that, Lord, what does this mean to me? Lord, I apply it. Show me myself. And enable me even to drive it out of our lives. My, this word, it is a fire. And as the fire cleanses, as the fire burns up the dross and the gold, if only you read it carefully, if only you read it prayerfully, it'll cleanse you. It'll reveal those sins. And more than that, it'll give grace to put those sins away. Why should we read the Word of God? Because it cleanses us. More than that, it comforts us. Describing the Word of God, he said in verse 29, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces on a cold, wet, wintry night?" The fire not only lights up the room, but its flames roaring up the chimney, they give off an intense heat. They warm the body, and more than that, the coals send out a radiant glow, a glow that causes us to forget the howling winds and the noise of the rain as it comes down in torrents. The fire, you see, has a strange, soothing and comforting effect upon the life. And like a fire, the Word of God at times scorches us, but at other times it soothes us. It comforts our weak and fainting hearts. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, speaking to the two disciples there at the road to Emmaus, we read in Luke 24:32, that they then said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" The word "burn" there literally means to set on fire. Like coal on fire, the Word of God warmed these men's hearts, and it brought comfort even to them. And when applied to our hearts, the Word of God calms our fears, and more than that, it brings comfort. It soothes our souls. It's only as you read it on your knees that you'll feel it's warm. Perhaps, believer, you're going through a difficult time. Perhaps there is many enemies out there, and you have many fears. Then sit at the Word of God. Sit down with God's Word, and it'll warm your heart. But more than that, it'll calm your heart. It'll bring comfort. It'll bring peace even to your troubled soul. It comforts us, but more than that, it counsels us. In olden times, a soldier going to battle, he carried a burning torch. Its flames burning bright, they enabled him to see where he was going. And more than that, it revealed to him a darkened world. And you see, the Word of God is not only right, but it's revelatory. It reveals to us not only the hidden things, but it reveals to us our path. But you say, "Preacher, I hear the Word of God often being preached upon. I often think about the will of God. But how can I discover it?" My friend, this book is a fire. It's able to lighten your path. And if only you come to this word with a willing heart, it will reveal to you your path. As you, in a cold winter's night, would take time and sit down by the fire, could I encourage you to sit down by the fire of the Word of God? It'll warm your heart. It'll comfort your heart. It'll throw light even upon your path. Not only is there a comparison here, but there is a command here. giving to him his word. The Lord then said in verse 28, let him speak. You notice here that going forth, what he was to speak. Look again at verse 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. He was to be faithful. In other words, going forth, he was not to mix the word of the Lord with the words of another, or to hold back any part of the word. Rather, going forth, he was to declare the word of God loudly, and he was to declare it clearly. And in our witness, God requires nothing more, and he requires nothing less than faithfulness. We're to preach all of the word to all of those that we come into contact with. Indeed, addressing the Ephesians, Paul was able to say, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. And he held back nothing that God gave to him. He preached the whole counsel of God. What happens if you mix iron with clay? It weakens it. And the stress coming, it will eventually crack and break. And if our witness is not to be ineffective, but if our witness is to be effective, we must not mix it. Mix it with our words, or mix it with our thoughts, or mix it with the ideas of modern society. But we need to preach it in all of its fullness, holding back nothing of the word. Believer, this is what we're to do. This is what we're to speak. We're to speak the word of God, all of the word. Notice the way he was to speak. He said, verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Notice concerning these false teachers that going forth with their message, they didn't walk, but they ran. And if they were running with their poisonous words, was it not even more vital that these men run with the word of God? And why slow to wrath? We're to be swift to witness. We're to be running with the glorious message of the gospel. You remember Philip and hearing the call of God to go up and to speak to the Ethiopian eunuch. And we read there in the Acts of the Apostles, and Philip ran thither to him. And rather than sitting, we are to be sprinting, we're to be running with the word of God. Quite often when we speak to those men and women about their souls, they say, preacher, there's plenty of time. And we remind them rightly that time is short. And yet how often when God speaks to our hearts and God says, go and speak, we say, Lord, we have plenty of time. But never again, time is short. Let us run. If the enemies of truth are running with their seed that destroys, let us run even quicker with the seed of God's word. Not only the way, but notice when he was to speak. We're told, verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. I think the force of these words is not only to speak, but it is to keep on speaking. When we go back through the book, we find that these people, that they had earlier rejected the word of the Lord. However, rather than giving up, he was saying, now to the prophet, go again and keep going, keep preaching the word. And in this work, we not only need swiftness, but stickability, a determination never to give up. How often maybe the Lord touches our heart and he says, speak to so-and-so about their soul. And we say, but Lord, I've spoken to them dozens of times. The Lord says, go again. I go again. You think of that large rock perhaps in the garden, and you go out and you take the hammer and you bring it down upon the rock, and hitting the rock, it rebounds off it. and nothing happens. You hit it a second time, a third time, a fourth time, the sweat begins to pour down your brow. You feel like giving up. And then after some time, you take it again and you hit it again. And all of a sudden, there is a crack. And by the cracking, you hit it again and eventually breaks into small pieces. The word of God is a hammer. The hearts of men are hard. Oh, believer, don't give up. Don't give up. You hit that heart with the word of God. There seemed to be no effect. But inwardly, there was. There was a weakening. Let's keep going back and again. And eventually, this hammer will break that word, that heart open. It's able to change. It's able to transform lives. What a word we have. It is a hammer. It's able to break hearts. It is a fire. It's able to cleanse. It's able to warm even our own souls. And if you're not saved, could I say to you, don't despise the word of God. You perhaps know it more as a hammer. As a hammer coming down and your thumb brings pain. The word of God has brought much pain. But if only you surrender. My friend, the same word is as wheat. It's able to bring life. And it is as fire. It's able to cleanse you. And it's able to warm your heart. Oh, what a wonderful book. May each of us know its ministry in our hearts and in our lives. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. And Lord, we cry to thee that we might know it even today as a hammer, breaking that hardness. That we might know it also has a fire warming us and cleansing us. But also may we know it even as that wheat, strengthening us, building us up in our most holy field. And Lord, we pray for those who know thee not, that today, that as a hammer, it might break their hearts, and that they might come and feast upon this word, and know thy so great salvation. Hear this our prayer. Hide thy word deep within our hearts. Let not the devil snatch it away. For we pray in our Savior's name. Amen.